شیطان الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین و صلی الله علی سیدنا محمد و آله الطاهرین. سورة الانشقاق ورس نمبر 6. اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم. یا ایها الانسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا. O man, you are laboring toward your Lord laboriously, and you will encounter him. Then as for him who's given his record, who's given his record in his right hand, he shall soon receive an easy reckoning, and he will return to his folks joyfully. But as for him who is given his record from behind his back, he will pray for annihilation, and he will enter the blaze. Very complicated concepts here that we have to discuss. First of all, what we have to discuss today is meeting with God, liqa, which is mentioned in many, many different verses of the Quran, of the Lord. Secondly, after we meet God, only after we meet him is possible for us to receive our books of action. Why, and what's the meaning of that? And after we receive our books, there is accounting, a hisab, which of course is mentioned to be in a very special way. The way you receive your book determines the way you will be taken into account. So these are very complicated concepts, of course highly, highly metaphorical, because these are concepts which we are not familiar with. And therefore, there are no words for it to be used to tell us what the reality of these things are. And therefore, a highly metaphorical language is used. However, when we say metaphorical, it doesn't mean that there is no reality behind it. It doesn't mean it's just like a poem. No. It's metaphorical in the sense that it alludes to a concept which may be quite different from the words which are used, but have a sort of connection with the words. For example, the book Kitab, which is the book of actions, although of course what we will be given on that day is not like a book, but there is a sort of connection between what we will see there and the concept of book, the book that we have in this world. And also there is a connection between the concept of liqa, meeting with each other in this world, and what will happen in the next world between us and God. However, that would be completely different from what we understand from our meetings here. However, there is a connection between the word and the concept which is used. There is no other way to express these things, as I said, because these are things which we are not familiar with. It's just like, as I said, if you want to explain or describe colors for a blind person, you have to use concepts which would in a way convey the message. But of course is not like what the people who can see could experience. So that's something that we have to bear in mind. And this is the whole idea of the book containing mutashabahat, confusing verses. Because, well, in Surah Ali Imran we have revealed the book, minhu ayatun muhkamat wa ukharu mutashabahat. There are of course ayat, verses which are completely clear, and verses which are not clear. Well, one might ask, why Allah should reveal verses which are not clear? Couldn't he say it in a clearer way? Of course it's clear in its expression. However, since the concepts which are used here, the words which are used here, are taken from the concepts that we know from this world, it cannot efficiently convey what we will see in the next world. And therefore it becomes confusing, and then different meaning could be taken from them. And that's why we have mutashabahat in the Quran. It's not something which, as some people had expressed in the past, some exegetes, that is purposely put in the book so that Allah confuses some people to know who would believe, who would not believe. This is not the case, of course. We know that this is not the way Allah would deal with us in a book of guidance. Now, to discuss the concept of liqa Allah, ya ayyuha al-insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih, you are toiling towards your Lord and you will meet him. To explore that concept, let us recap the differences between nash'atul dunya and nash'atul akhirah. This liqa cannot happen in this world, cannot happen in the plane of dunya. It should happen in the plane of akhirah. Now, just we talked about the differences between nash'atul dunya and nash'atul akhirah. Just to recap, what are the differences of nash'atul dunya and nash'atul akhirah? There are six differences between these two. First of all, whatever is in nash'atul dunya is not meant for itself. It is meant for something else. It's a means. Ya qawm innama hadhihi al-hayatu dunya mataa. This world is just a means, and whatever we see in this world is just a means. Wa innal akhirata hiya darul qarar. Akhirah, nash'atul akhirah, is where you could establish, and it is meant for itself. Although there is still moving forward in nash'atul akhirah, however, even that moving forward, whatever we experience before and after in that progress, is meant for itself, is not meant for something else. Here in this world, whatever we experience is meant for something else. That's why it's called mata. And the next world is called, here is just a path, it's just a journey. There is the house, is the destination. Inna akhlasnahum, as we have about Ibrahim in Surah Sa'd and his children, wadhkur Ibrahima wa Ishaqa wa Ya'qub ulil aidi wal absar. Mention Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub, people who had insight and resolve and power to go through this journey. Inna akhlasnahum bikhalisatin, we had purified them for one thing, dhikra dar, remembering the home, remembering home, actually that's home. Here we are far away from our home. Darul akhirah is our home. So this is the first difference. Secondly, as I said last week, we shouldn't think that in darul akhirah the matter would disappear. No, the matter will be there, the material world will be there, heavens and earth will be there. However, the features, characteristics of all things, these things would change to a degree that you would think that this is a completely different world. It's just like a caterpillar coming out of its cocoon and becoming a butterfly. Now, there's much difference between a butterfly and a caterpillar. The caterpillar inside the cocoon is completely tight and bound, but when it comes out, it's a completely different creature. Darul Akhirah compared to this world is like a butterfly compared to a caterpillar. The world would come out of its cocoon and you would see things which you cannot believe. Is this the same earth? Is this the same matter? Is this the same hand? Is this the same human body? We have bodies, but it's completely different, with completely different features and characteristics. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, which is very important, and this allows this liqa, And if this was not the case, the liqa would not have been possible. Different layers of, or different dimensions of creation would merge and would become one. So every dimension and every layer of creation could be aware of other dimensions and other layers. Angels and human beings and jinns and objects and matter, all that will be this one at the same level of understanding and consciousness. Intelligence would become, as I said last week, would become generally, would be given generally to everything. And therefore, the veils between things would go away. So, different layers will merge. And the fourth thing is that the intelligence would become something general and public to everything. There's one verse in the Quran which the exegetes have pains in explaining. And this morning I was looking into dozens of tafasir to see how they have explained this verse. And what I understand from the verse is something which I couldn't find except in a couple of unknown tafasir. And that is the verse in Surah Yunus. Now this is very interesting, and this explains these two differences between Darul Dunya and Darul Akhirah. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا, when we gather them. Hashr is when you gather things from here and there and bring them into one plane. And this in itself means the layers of creation, the levels of different dimensions would all come. And hashr isn't just bringing different things from here and there, is bringing all creation into one plane. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا مَكَانَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَشُرَكَاؤُكُمْ. Then to the mushrikeen we say, you stand here with your shuraka, with your associates, those whom you worshipped. I have a word with you. I want to show you what you were doing. Because on that day Allah will inform us, and that's one very, very important thing of Yawm al-Qiyamah that we will discuss when we come to the concept of book. Allah will inform us what the reality of our actions in this world was, or what the reality of this life had been. ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا مَكَانَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَشُرَكَاؤُكُمْ. We tell to mushrikeen, stand here you and your associates, the idols you worship, the wood, the stone, or whatever. فَزَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَقَالَ شُرَكَاؤُهُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Then we do what? زَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ. And after we do this, this زَيَّلْنَا is the difficult part of the verse. Then what will, after this happens, after this زَيَّلْنَا happens, then the associate will say, وَقَالَ شُرَكَاؤُهُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ. You were not worshipping us. فَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ إِن كُنَّا عَنْ عِبَادَتِكُمْ لَغَافِلِينَ. Allah is a witness, and He is sufficient as a witness, that we were ignorant of your worshipping us. We didn't know that you were worshipping us. You were just doing it for yourself. هُنَالِكَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ. It's there when everyone can experience what they have been doing. Now, let's leave that verse. That is very, very important verse about Darul Akhirah. But about this زَيَّلْنَا, the exegetes have differed whether it's from زَالَ يَزُولُ or زَالَ يُزِيلُ, أَزَالَ يُزِيلُ. If it's second, it means we make them separated. We separate between them. And that is, we tell them, stand here, you and your associates, and then we separate the associates on one side and the mushrikeen on the other side. And why do we do that? The exegetes say, because Allah wants to, like cross-examination, want to ask each other separately. What happened, and the Mushrikun, what happened, the Shuraka, what happened, and then would show them that they were wrong. However, the continuation of the verse doesn't allow this, because it says, وَقَالَ شُرَكَاؤُهُمْ, the Shuraka would speak to them, and they say, you were not worshipping us. Now, let's take زَيَّلْنَا from زَالَ يَزُولُ. That means we remove between them. What do we remove? The veils. They become one world. They can speak to each other. You here, you cannot speak to a stone, and the stone cannot speak to you. There is no intelligence there. There is no understanding. There we remove the veil. As soon as we remove the veil, the stones come to their minds. My God, what happened? What happened in that world? These people thought that we were gods, and they want to somehow disown this. And immediately they say, Ma kuntum iyana ta'budun, you were not worshipping us. And out of fear that what happened, these people thought we were gods or symbols of God or whatever. فَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, Allah is sufficient as a witness. We were ignorant of your worship. We didn't know. We were negligent. You were worshipping. We didn't know. We couldn't say we are not gods, of course. We didn't know what you were doing. We could not understand. We could not see things the way we can see it now. And then, هُنَالَكَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ, here is when everyone knows what has happened in the previous world. They experience their life, so to speak, that happened in the previous world. So this is big thing. If this is going to happen in the next world, if all these veils are going to go away, if all the worlds are going to merge into one thing, then of course we are going to live in a completely different world. As I said, you can sit and talk to a willow tree, for example, for hours and discuss something with each other, something about God, something about life, and it could tell you its experience, you could tell it your experience, and many, many different things that may happen in that world. That is, of course, a different plane of creation, completely different from here. Okay, that was the fourth, the fifth difference. It's just a recap of what we said last week. The fifth difference is that here God is hidden behind the chain of causes and effects. You cannot look for God in a broken chain of cause and effect. You say that, okay, this is cause of this, this is cause of that, that's the cause of this. And then, yes, here there's no cause. That means God has created all these chains. No, you cannot find this. Philosophically, you can say, I mean, just like Aristotle said, there is movement, there should have been a prime mover, someone who has set all these things in motion, but you cannot locate it. No matter how far you go, there is always a chain of causes and effects. You want to know how rain comes about? There is a chain, long chain of causes and effects. You cannot see God unless you have insight, unless, of course, you have faith, unless your faith is so deep that you can somehow break through this very, very strong chain and see God behind this. However, in Darul Akhirah, things are completely different. The chains of causes and effects are there. Not that it's not there. There is a chain of cause and effect. But you do not see that it's only, for example, the clouds which produce rain, if there is a rain there. You see that it's God who does all these things. You completely see this. Now let me compare two verses with each other, which of course we have to discuss later when we talk about the concept of book. There's one verse here in Surah Inshiqaq, which we are discussing. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. You are, of course, you are going to meet your Lord after lots of hard work. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. And for those who are given their books in their hands. Now, look at Surah Al-Haqqah, Surah 69. Just to compare two things together. Surah 69, verse number 18. And 19. It talks about the day of judgment, of course. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ. That day you will be exposed. لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةٌ. None of your secrets will remain hidden. And the exegetes generally say that means none of your secrets will remain hidden to God. You will be completely exposed to God. فَأُرَضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّىٰ. They come and will be exposed one after another to God in a line. And then it says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. The same thing. And for those to whom their book are given to their right hands. So these two things are concurrent. Meeting the Lord and becoming exposed to the Lord are concurrent. Now, what's the meaning of becoming exposed to the Lord? Aren't we exposed to the Lord now? Aren't all our secrets known to the Lord now? Why it says, mentions it here, why it emphasizes that on that day you will be exposed and none of your secrets will remain hidden? Because that's a world where we can experience it, or a stage in that world. Before that, we could not experience this. Now, there are many things in the Quran that says, on that day, kingdom belongs to God. On that day, possession, all possessions belong to God. As if it, in this world, it is not. Today is not. Well, all the exegetes say that no, it means that on that day in that world you see this, you realize it. You realize that behind this chain of cause and effect, well, before seeing cause and effect, you see God. And then you see causes and effects. God permeates, so to speak, his presence is completely felt by everyone. As we said, no matter whether you are a mu'min or a kafir or a mushrik or whatever, his presence is felt before everything. This is his world, so to speak. This is his day. This is the day in which Allah becomes Malik, Maliku Yawm al-Din, or Maliku Yawm al-Din. His kingdom will become quite clear. Now, there is a sort of concurrence here. When you completely become aware of yourself, completely become aware of yourself, no secret will be hidden. And because you know your no secret is hidden to God, you yourself will become aware of all your secrets. And then is when this encounter with the Lord will happen. You feel that God now has come and you meet him. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Your Lord will come and the angels will come. The worlds will merge. You will become one with the world of the angels. And then at that time you will feel that you are encountering your Lord. Now, okay, let's quickly examine the sixth difference. The sixth difference is the result of all these. And that is, the real life will be experienced in Darul Akhirah. Here, as I have said repeatedly, we just have a shadow of life. It's just a taste of life, a fragrance of life. It's not life that we have. We think it's life. We think that after we die, we lose life. It's not the case. We upgrade in in degree of our life. And Darul Akhirah is where the real life will come to us. We experience the real life. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَحٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. This life is just play. It's just somehow feigning life. The life of Akhirah is the real life. Why? Because of all these things. Because you become so big, so huge, you grow to a degree that then you can say you have met the Lord. Now, usually we have two extremes about the concept of Liqa Allah. One extreme says that, yes, God is like a human being, is sitting somewhere. And on that day we will go and meet him. And he is sitting on a throne and we meet him. This is of course for Mujassima, for those who think God is like a human being, has body and these things. And so there's no difficulty for them to explain the concept of meeting. And whenever they come to these verses, they say, didn't we say that God is like that? We go and meet him, probably shaking hands with him if you are mu'min. And something like this, which of course is not something that an intelligent mind can accept. The other extreme is that this is completely metaphorical. There is no such a thing as meeting with God. It's impossible, because of course how could God be met by a human being or by any other creature, by angels for example, or anything, because God is transcendent, completely transcendent. So what do they say when they come to these verses? فَمُلَاقِهِ, you meet him. They say you meet his reward, you meet his punishment, or something like that. Yes, you want to say something? Or something like that. Not that you meet him, you meet something which is related to him. You meet his reward, you meet his punishment, you meet his judgment, or something like that, which is again not acceptable. I mean, if God wanted to talk in that sense, or in that he wanted to mention that, why should he use this type of language? This very highly metaphorical language. So it means that there is an encounter, there is a laqa. But خَسَرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلَقَاءِ اللَّهِ, those who deny laqa Allah, they are the losers. مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لَقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتٍ, whoever hopes that they are going to meet the Lord should know that the time which has been appointed for that will come, and you will meet your Lord, and of course you are toiling towards this destination and you are going to meet him. So what's the meaning of this meeting, encounter? You come to a degree where you see that whatever you look around yourself is controlled by him. You feel his presence everywhere. Not in the sense that the prophets or some mystics feel his presence in this world, is something which, because this world, as I said, is a shadow of life. In the next world is real life, and therefore there's a real meeting between God and his creatures. In this world, of course, these experiences might be there, but it is restricted to certain people who purify themselves to a very high degree, and then they can experience something of God. In that world, it's not restricted to certain people. It is for the whole creation. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to him. We are going to go back to him. Kullun ilayna raji'un. Everything is going to come back to us and is going to meet us. And therefore, this concept is just when the whole creation arrives at its destination. That is the destination that God has. And this is great mercy, of course. This is out of his mercy that Allah is lifting everything up to his level. Now, of course, that doesn't mean Allah is restricted to that level. That means that after that encounter, the real life starts. That is the destination. We have reached the destination, and then the real life starts from there, either in the hell or in paradise. Not that real life is only in paradise, it might be in hell. It might of course end up eventually in paradise for those even who go to hell, but the real life only starts after our book are given to us, books are given to us. And this happens only after we have met God. Thereafter, whoever his book is given to his right hand, which we will discuss. Now, why I say this cannot happen in this world? Because God clearly mentions this, that it cannot happen in this world. Experiences of prophets are completely different from this lagha. This is something which will come afterwards. Now, let's look at excitement of Musa alayhi salam with his experience of the Lord. You know, Musa was very dear to God, and for Musa God would have gone ways to do things. Now, when there was an appointment between Musa and his Lord, and Musa went to the appointment and was honored by it, of course, and was so excited, and in that honored moments God showed him so much mercy that he becomes so excited and enthusiastic that he said, God, can I not just have a look at you? Now, have a look at you, not in the sense that his people wanted, that's قالوا يا موسى لن نؤمن لك حتى نرى الله جهرة, we would not believe in you unless we look at God. Because then God punished them and killed all of them for that saying. However, Musa wanted something else. Of course, Musa was a knowledgeable man. He knew that God could not be seen. He wanted this laqa. This laqa which is going to happen, of course, for everyone. But Musa had lost his patience for it. Why? Because the Quran says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لَمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. When he came to our appointment, we showed him our mercy, we spoke to him. That's, of course, I mean, this would move a slave of God outside his own boundaries when God starts to speak directly to someone. When all these things happened, قال رب أرني أنظر إليك. Show yourself to me. Why I'm in this state? I cannot bear this impatience of going. As was with all the prophets, of course. Our prophet was usually saying that out of impatience he was going to leave this world and going for that liqa. This impatience, God says, قال لن تراني. لن is for, of course, perpetuality. You never will see me. Now, this we will somehow restrict to this world because of other verses. We somehow compare verses to each other because in other verses we have that وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ. There are like some faces are refreshed, very delightful on that day. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. They look at their Lord. This is nadhar. And Musa wanted this nadhar, this looking. And this was what he wanted, what will happen in the next world. And Allah says, it never can happen. And by that never we understand in this world, comparing it with others. قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ أُنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ الْجَبَلِ. Look at the mountain. Now, you want that لَقَاء to happen. You want that manifestation to come. You want to look at me the way you look at me in the Akhirah. Look what happens if it happens in this world. This world is not life. It cannot bear it. It's just like a paper. It's just a drawing of life. It's just a drawing of life. Look, if I show myself to this world, if that meeting happens while still this world is in the state of its caterpillar form, if it happens, look what will come about. وَلَكِنْ أُنْظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. Look at the mountain. I will do it, to that mountain. فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If that could stand it, you can stand it as well. Well, you are a miserable, flesh and bone, and this is rock and stone. Look what happens to it when this encounter comes. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. And here we realize by looking, Musa meant manifestation, تجلي. What will happen in the next world? I mean, we have to be very, very accurate about the expressions and words used in the Quran. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا. The mountain exploded. وَحَرَّ مُوسَى سَعِقًا. Musa went unconscious. Now, the tajalli was to the mountain, Musa went unconscious. Just imagine if it had been to Musa himself. What would have happened? It would have destroyed, disappeared completely from the plane of existence. So it is not, it's not possible. In this world it's not possible. So this laqa would happen only in that world. That means we grow to a stage which we cannot imagine. By this process of coming to this world, dying from this world, going to Barzakh, dying from Barzakh, going to the plane of Akhirah, moving in different phases of Akhirah, coming to a stage where that ability, aptitude, will be created in us. And then the purpose of all this journey is that creation of that aptitude in us, so that we become huge enough that Allah could meet us directly, could speak to us. And the purpose is not to meet the, of course, the kuffar or mushrikun and put them on the spot. The purpose is that those who love him and believe in him could go and meet him. Of course, this is a very general journey for everyone, and God would have wanted that everyone would go to him as mu'minun. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرَمًا. Whoever goes to his Lord meets him while he is a criminal. فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. Then فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا. If you go to him while you are a mu'min, you do not know what is reserved for you there. وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. With, of course, good deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْأُولَىٰ. There are high grades and levels for them. And this meeting, of course, is something which, as I said, we cannot imagine how God is going to treat us. As a guest, تَحَيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ Salam. The day they meet him, Allah will greet him with salam. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَرِيمًا. And has reserved for them a very, very generous reward to give them, to send them to paradise. Where is paradise? It's just beside him. That's where these human beings are going to live. It's Darus Salam. It's a place where there is no harm, no worry, nothing which would befit a world away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that encounter would prepare us for all this. Now, that encounter would prepare us for something else as well, and that is to see the real us. It's not only to meet God, it's to see the real us. And that's when our books are given to us. This is what, inshallah, we will discuss next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. We have about 15-20 minutes. If any sister wants to take up the discussion, please. Any sisters? Yes, sister, there should be a mic there. Yeah, take it up. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam.
I just wanted to find out if there was a literal meaning to the word liqa.
Liqa is just to meet. When two people meet each other, that's mulaqat. And liqa is encounter and meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sister. Any other brothers? Any? Sheikh, in your discussion, you said, well, we know this verse, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, and then you said that everything will return to us. Now, what do you mean by everything? I mean, for example, in your discussion you mentioned that certain objects will be brought back and they will have voices and they will give witness that they were falsely prayed to or falsely taken as gods. So these, apart from these objects, well,
everything, animals, trees, I mean, angels, whatever is there, will, is just as if God has dispatched them on a journey, and then He takes them back to Him, or they go back to Him again, and that dispatching is just like setting them on the motion of creation. And in this motion of creation, they have to experience things. And then they have to go back to Him. By going back to Him, of course, He is everywhere. Even when we are on this journey, He is here as well. By going back to Him means that we again move up the levels and go to a state where we can reside beside His presence, so to speak.
But then we will have the life, but what about those, so all these objects, for example, stones you mentioned, will they have some kind of sense?
Not only sense, intelligence as well, so much higher than that. Probably we have to go and see, I mean,
inshallah. Okay, before
maybe when we go, you tell me, Sheikh, you said all these things, nothing of those happened, I mean, what can I do?
Thank you. Before we come to brothers, can we have sisters? Is there any sister, please? Any other sister? Okay, brother Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Sheikh, you mentioned about the words of looking at your Lord. How would you describe the difference between meeting your Lord and looking at your Lord?
Well, when you come to that level of capacity that you can meet the Lord, then of course you can look at His beauty. That's looking at His beauty. And this looking, meeting is for everyone, but looking is only for the believers. These believers are blind as they were blind in this world. مَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. They are of course going to be blind there, in the sense that they cannot look at their Lord. They meet Him, they encounter Him, but they do not see His beauty. And we have in other verses, for example, in Surah Mutaffifin, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُبُونَ. They are in veils from their Lord. This doesn't mean that they are not going to meet Him, because that's completely general for everyone. However, when they meet Him, they feel His presence, but they cannot see His beauty. So looking at the Lord is when He allows us, He reveals His beauties to us.
Okay, any sisters? Before I come back to brothers, sisters? No? Okay, you be ready whilst we come to brothers. Safraz?
Alaykum salam. Sheikh, you have a certain group of people that you've mentioned, as-sabiqoon, and for them there is no accounting. They've already reached that level, I suppose. Can you explain us a bit more about them, how they just go straight to...
Yeah, that's become next week, because here people are actually categorized in two categories. Those whose books are given to their right hands, those whose books are given to their left hands. And of course there is a mention of those whose books are given from behind their backs. Now, is it a comprehensive classification, or Allah is just giving us a sample? Well, we are not jumping to next week, but for example, it says the kuffar are given their books in their left hands, and the believers who have done good, as Ashabul Yameen, they are going to be given their books in their right hands. What about the believers who are sinners? Where their books come from? How they take it? There is no mention of it here. And there are many other sabiqoon. How they receive their books, or do they receive any book? There is no counting for them. What happens? So these are the things that we will discuss next week. Not, of course, thinking that we are going to solve all or answer all these questions, just to give a better understanding that it's just a sample or simplification of what happens. However, there are many, many different aspects which are not covered, certainly.
Thank you. Sisters? No? Come on.
You talked about looking at Allah or visioning Allah. So what does Imam Ali mean when he says, I do not worship a Lord that I do not see?
Seeing, which is, of course, suitable to this world. Yes, certainly. I mean, all prophets, Amirul Mu'mineen, at top of Siddiqoon, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا رَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ مَعَهُ وَقَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ. I have never seen anything unless I have seen God with it, before it, after it. But that's a seeing, that's an experience which is suitable, fitting for this world, this nash'atu dunya. Nash'atu al-akhirah is completely different, of course.
Any sisters? Sisters, yeah? No? Any brother? Well, nobody? Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Sir Sheikh, I'm taking advantage of this. When you mentioned mutashabihat, Allah also mentions there that those people in whose heart is a perversion, they abuse these verses.
Yes.
Can you explain us in what way do we see their manifestation? How do they abuse these verses?
Well, for example, some of them have some ideas about God. Then they use these verses to establish their own idea. For example, they think like God is like a human being. And then they say, didn't we say, Allah here said we will meet him and that would not be possible unless we can go and see him. This is the meaning of meeting. So it's used, and in many other ways these verses could be used. I mean, for wrong theology, for wrong concepts, they could be used very easily. Maybe we are using them for for a wrong purpose, we don't know. But we are trying our best not to, but it's very easily susceptible to give way to these misrepresentations.
So Sheikh, is this still prevailing, for example, this idea that Allah will be seen physically there on the Day of Judgment, is this still prevailing in some other Muslim societies? Because we read or hear, it used to be this kind of thoughts.
Yes, so many Salafis have the same idea still. And of course, the Ash'aris, as it has become quite popular, they have these ideas. They don't have these ideas, of course, of meeting God like this, or God being like an object. But there were those people who were called Hashwiyah or Mujassim. And now many Salafis have somehow become inclined towards those ideas, explaining these things in that way. This is not a majority trend in Islam, certainly.
Thank you. Any sisters, please? Brothers, anybody? Yeah, Jasmin.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam.
You mentioned that, you know, people would be brought with their leaders on the day. What would happen to the leaders? Would they be accounted as well, or would they be discarded from this kind of questioning about their...
No, certainly. They will be taken into account. Of course, leaders, by those leaders, we mean leaders who led them astray. Leaders who led them to God, they have different, of course, categories. Some of them are prophets or Siddiqoon, Muqarrabun. They have a different sort of treatment. Because their personality here was completely melted in Allah's love. So they have a different treatment there. They didn't have some selfish things. For those who have selfish stance, then there will be counting. There will be account and all these things. But other leaders, yes. I mean, even the jinn who are shayateen, who misguide people, they are going to be tried and judged simultaneously with the people whom they have led astray. And they start to argue with each other. In Surah Qaf we have, قَالَ قَرِينُهُ رَبَّنَا مَا أَطْغَيْتُهُ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ فِي ظَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. His company, who was the jinn who was misleading, the shaitan who was misleading him, said, I didn't do anything wrong to him. He was himself, I found him lost. and I went to him and just wanted to play and these things, and well, he just followed me whatever I said. قَالَ قَرِينُهُ رَبَّنَا مَا أَتْغَيْتُهُ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ فِي ذَلَالٍ, by trying to somehow exonerate himself. قَالَ لَا تَخْتَصِمُوا لَدَيِّ, he says, do not argue in front of me. It seems that there is a reply there from the other side. No, you misguided me. If you were not there, I wouldn't have been on that. قَالَ لَا تَخْتَصِمُوا لَدَيْهِ, do not argue before me. وَقَدْ قَدَّمْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ بِالْوَعِيدِ, I have warned both of you before, both jinn and ins, I have warned you. So yes, of course, the leaders, the shayateen, all will be tried on that day.
Thank you, Shaykh. Inshallah, if you continue coming here every Sunday, will be guided then properly, inshallah.
Or more confused.
any last take? Yes, please, yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Will, after the book has been given, either on the right hand or the left hand, will it be the end of the time of the 50,000?
Then will become counting. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. After we receive ourselves in full, then there will be counting. And then after that, yes, then there will be a life in hell or a life in paradise. That's the end of the journey.
Any other sister, last one? No? Thank you much indeed, Shaykh. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli.